All right, welcome back to our Monday coffee talk time. Let's go ahead and pray as we shift gears and get back into our teaching time. Would you join me in a word of prayer, bowing your heads?
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity we have to come before you right now. Thank you for our sweet fellowship and our groups and just a chance to get to know one another as well and to dig into your word together, hear from other people and their experience in your word as well. Father, we just go before you right now and ask that you would go before us right now, and we would ask that you would give us ears to hear your word in this moment, and that you would guard my heart and my mouth as I speak, and it asks that you would just bless this time as we get into learning more about faith and from your word right now in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
All right. So, welcome back again. You girls have so much fun in your groups. It's nice to hear you chattering away and enjoying each other's company. If you have your packet, there's a page there for you to jot down notes. And you know, this has been, this coffee talk season this summer has been a blessing to me. How many of you enjoyed that? Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Great speakers. We've heard from wonderful women sharing their story. If you ever miss a gal's talk, you can always go on the podcast. They're all up there. Rachel Barsha's talk, Rebecca Kahnemar from last time, Kathy's talk, and Monica Chavez, who spoke in the morning and all that. So feel free to join in on the podcast and really get blessed hearing everybody's talks again. At the beginning of the summer, more kind of the middle of May, as I started thinking ahead to Coffee Talk, planning out, I had already started meeting with the gals who were going to be sharing their story and kind of asking them what they thought was on their heart and what aspect of their story they'd be sharing. As I wove their outlines together and laid it out for the summer, knowing that in between each session we'd have some kind of a time to get together like this and get in the Word, I started praying, Father, what do you want us to do in between each coffee talk? What should be our testimony in between each testimony time, right? And I wrote out the outline that you see here, this little schedule that you have here. So we started with my story, Unexpected Hope, and then our Bible study after that was our true source of hope. And then Rachel shared finding joy in God's plan. And then Kathy and Monica shared their stories. And then the last time I spoke was on prayer. And then Rebecca shared her story on being lost in Christ. And tonight I'll be sharing on faith. And Teresa Mestes will be sharing next time we get together on God's faithfulness in her life. And then we'll wrap up the summer with us talking about how we can share our stories more effectively. So I had that done in May-ish, early May or so. And I love, we don't have a micromanaging staff here, so Pastor Jay doesn't say, hey, what are you going to be teaching the women folk? You know, make sure you check in with me, nothing like that. So we just type it up and we go. A couple of weeks after that, Pastor Shane and Jay were rattling around what their topics were going to be as the summer approached and what they were going to shift gears into, and including the fall, what that was going to be. And no one looks at my stuff. No one says, oh, I wonder what Jennifer's up to with the ladies, right? No. And so I get to church on that Sunday, and he's going through Jonah. Remember that message? Mm-hmm. He's going through Jonah. Wasn't that a great message, by the way? The whole series was fabulous. Well, that Sunday was July 16th, and his message was on Jonah and particularly focusing on prayer and revival. Do you happen to remember that? If you haven't heard his message, go back and listen to it. Phenomenal message. It's on our website. You can go listen to that on live stream. Well, that was on July 16th. Do you know that July 17th and 18th was scheduled for what I spoke on? Prayer and revival that following Monday without any coordination at all between us. It was really exciting. So that Sunday after he preached, I went up to him and I said, you know, you spoke on prayer and I'm picking on prayer tomorrow. That's not great how God's working. And I shared with you last time that he was super excited, right? Wow, that's super awesome. No, he was just normal Shane, the way he responded, which was just kind of cool and not, isn't God good, right? All right, so once again, this past Sunday, how many of you were here yesterday and heard Pastor Jay's message, right? So what did Pastor Jay speak on yesterday?
Faith.
Pastor Jay was like looking up my schedule, checking up. No. Ladies, I think it's just beautiful to see God's hand at work here. This isn't Jay, Shane, and I coordinating with each other. This is the Holy Spirit coordinating through us. Amen?
Amen.
Right. So we're seeing this amazing power of God at work. And as I shared in my prayer story that it went out in the last email, women are reaching out to one another, to me, and asking for help in this area. Let's grow together in our prayer. And prayer goes hand in hand with faith. Okay. It's always together in the Word of God when we read God's Word. And so we're going to go into faith tonight. And praise God, you know, Jay did an okay job last night, yesterday on a sermon. It was a pretty good night. Right? If you have not heard Jay's message, go back and listen to it. Home run on his faith talk. And a lot of the women have shared with me, even in our leaders meeting tonight. That was so cool to get them referencing James, right? Because we've been going to James, and you're going, ding, ding, I know that scripture. Isn't that exciting that we're all together and how the Holy Spirit orchestrated that? That is part of being in the body of Christ. And when we see those beautiful aha moments, we know it's not a coincidence, it's a God incidence, right? All right. So we'll talk today about faith, and I want to share a little bit about my story and what God's done in my life in regards to faith and growing. And one of the interesting things about me standing up here and sharing with you, and even writing things out back in May of what I was going to talk on, now this is just a secret between us girls. No one, not going to leave this room, no one telling me or anything. But as I was beginning my talks on prayer and this one also on faith, I realized these are two areas of constant struggle for me. This isn't like, I'm talking on faith because I got it nailed down, or I'm going to be the prayer talk lady because I got it all dialed in. It's like God just directed me to areas that he knew I needed to work on. Does anyone ever feel like God just gives you your homework like that? Uh-huh. Right? So for sure, as I've been prepping for this talk, I just feel like, all right, Lord, I need this. This is good for me. So if all y'all just need to take a nap right now, that's fine, because this message was for me. My time in the Word was for me. And if you get something out of it, that's just extra little cherry on the top, right? Okay. So growing up, as I shared, in a Christian home, music was a big part of our life. And maybe, like me, you went to Vacation Bible School growing up, and maybe you even heard this little song when you were a kid in Vacation Bible School. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. He will never fail us. His promises are true. If we but receive them, his children we become. Faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. Does anyone know that song from grade school? You can find it on YouTube, actually. I Googled it to make sure I had the lyrics right, and a couple of YouTube videos came up with a cute little sing-along. So write that down. Faith is just believing. Go look it up on YouTube later. And that was a song that spoke to me, ministered to me from the time I was young enough to sing and hear words like that. Isn't that beautiful, the power of God's word, even through little songs as simple as that one is? And as truthful as that one is. So what is faith then? What is faith? I ask this. People come to me. I go to Jay. We go to each other. What does this look like? How do I increase my faith? Has anyone asked that before? You have a sense in which you're deficit there, or something's not working, and so you ask that question. So as I shared before, the faith and the prayer connection can't be separated in God's word. And we'll see that as we go through my little talk tonight. But maybe when you've been faced with issues in your life, you've asked that question, how can I increase my faith? Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe this is all happening because of my lack of faith. And that's an honest question, and that's a great place to be. And you're in good company if you ask questions like that, and we'll get into that even in a minute as well. But faith is the essence of the Christian life. It is the absolute essence of our Christian life. It's exhorted throughout the entire Bible. And it's presented as an absolute necessity. In fact, so firmly is it presented that in Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. So I had an early experience in faith and prayer as a little older than Mike. That first song came along. But I had heard that scripture, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. And as I was probably 12, maybe 11 years old at the time, it was a difficult season for our family. My mom had a couple, about a year before that, attempted suicide. And we were crumbling. It was a difficult time. We were on food stamps. It was just a really bad, sad season in our life. And my mom had healed from the attempted suicide for the most part. But she had been doing some coping through alcohol and then cigarette smoking. You know, mind you, again, this is a Christian family growing up in the church, and my father is a lay minister, and my mom even at that time as well. So I remember this verse coming up in some kind of a study, or somehow I heard it at church again. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do.
And I remember the verse in James that you read this last week in your study, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And so I decided to go to God with a prayer in my heart, something that was wrecking me and filling me with a lot of anxiety as a little 11-year-old girl in junior high. And that was, I don't want my mommy to die smoking cigarettes. And it was every day I really struggled with that. We would get in the car together, she'd pick us up, and I would say, I'm praying that God would help you to stop smoking, and please stop smoking. And I was just on her. I would look up, could go on the internet, but I would find little pamphlets that you can get at the doctor's house, and they were handing them out at school about what cigarettes do, and I would give those to her. And so I just started praying and praying and praying and praying. And one day my mom came to me and said, I decided to stop smoking.
Oh.
I'm not going to smoke anymore. And she never did. She never picked up cigarettes again. And I asked her about that season, and she said it was my pleading with her, basically, that she didn't want to disappoint me. And she was addicted to the cigarettes, but that helped her to get over that. And I always have looked back at that moment of my life as God just affirming this small season of our life and healing my mom and her desire to smoke and giving me a success, right? Giving me that, say, a yes from God. And so, ladies, today I'm going to ask you to think right now, what is racking your heart with anxiety? What's hurting your heart in your life? What bring you to tears if we can really share our stories in that regard right now about someone in your life that you love that is on a path of destruction? Maybe it's even in your own heart that you see some tendencies in your own heart. And I would like you to pursue God in that way and ask God for a yes. We're going to talk a little bit more how to secure a yes from God. We talked about it last week, prayers that get answered with yes. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. But right now, I'd like you to get that in your mind. If you want to just write a little code to yourself, a little word on your paper to bring it outside of your body and put it down in print, that in a moment we're going to really go to the Father in faith on whatever it is that you have. And this isn't something I'm going to ask anybody to read out loud. So don't worry. You're not like, oh, what is she going to ask us to do? This is going to be you and the Father, period. That's it. Because really, that's all I did with my mom's situation. It was just me and God just begging and crying and pleading with him. Right? All right. So you have that. We're going to set that aside for a moment. And we're going to go to your favorite book of the Bible, everyone's favorite, Habakkuk. So,
Habakkuk?
You're like, oh, is that a word? No, it's not just in the Mormon Bible. No, just kidding. It's a real book. It's a real prophet. And it's in the real Word of God. If you have my Bible, it's on page 777. But you probably don't. So you'll have to just go to the contents and skim through and try to find Habakkuk. You don't have your Bible, get out your phone. I want you in the Word and open that up. So we're going to be in Habakkuk. We're going to meet this guy, and we're going to talk a little bit about what faith looks like in his life and how that impacts our life. Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament. It's a minor prophet, so it's easy to miss. It's only it's only 2.5 pages long. Seriously easy. And Nahum is right before it. Okay. And then right after it is Zephaniah, another favorite, right?
Hezekiah?
And yeah, Hezekiah, right?
I first
heard no Hezekiah, don't get confused. Go to your table of contents, there's no shame in that table of contents. So find Habakkuk. Girl, I should have had a little buzzer, first one to get it, you know, sing, and then get a prize. Who has Habakkuk? Help your neighbor find Habakkuk. All right.
After Nahum.
After Nahum, before Zephaniah, there's Habakkuk. All right. So Habakkuk is a book that you can go home and read on your own tonight. It's going to take you just a few minutes to get through. And I'll just put a plug in right now because we're not going to read it cover to cover. But I'm going to ask you to consider the possibility of going home before you go to bed tonight. Read through Habakkuk. You'll have a little bit of an understanding of it. And we're going to dig into this. One of the reasons why we're choosing Habakkuk, why this is part of our talk on faithfulness, is because it's quoted three times in the New Testament. This tiny little prophet gets quoted three times by some big hitters in the New Testament. We're going to dig into that because it has everything to do with faith. And when you see the life of Habakkuk, I think you'll relate in your own life to his story as well. So I'm gonna pull something out, and then we're gonna kind of zoom in on it. We're gonna pull back out, and then we're gonna come back in. So hang in there with me. Here we go. Habakkuk chapter 2. Did everyone find Habakkuk? Mm-hmm. There's extra Bibles around if anyone wants an actual imprint Bible. But Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4.
And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. If you have your own Bible, underline that. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But, get ready to underline, the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. So we see this tiny little book, this small little verse, and this is a peek at the nature of God and what it means to be his people. God's judgment was on the nation of Israel, as well as those he even sent to judge his people. God was judging them as well. Again, this little verse is quoted 3 times. When I noticed that, I had to get into Habakkuk. What is going on? What is happening here? How have I missed this, right? Romans, here we go. If you want to do some book hopping, I bet you can find Romans pretty quick. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul is writing here. And he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You see that? Paul is going to dig in and school us all on what it means to truly be righteous. And that's by faith. It was impossible to please God without faith. And he quotes way back to Habakkuk. All right? So belief and faith, as you heard from Pastor Jay yesterday, is from the same Greek root word, pistis. Pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. Salvation comes to all who believe through faith. Faith and belief, same root word. We read in 1 John 5:4. You don't have to turn to that. I'll just read it to you. 1 John 5:4, if you want to write it down for later. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Did you catch that? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And in a week, we're going to get into 1 John. We're going to actually do our final Bible study of the summer through 1 John. So faith is the road that you are taking into the grace of God. Faith is the road you're taking into the grace of God. Habakkuk is also quoted in Galatians chapter 3. If you want to turn to that, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. So this is a reminder to us that God has not changed Old Testament to New Testament, as some people like to say. God of the Old Testament is big, mean, scary guy, a bunch of laws we got to obey. God of the New Testament is all nice and cozy, and he's hippie, and he's, you know, eating granola and hanging out with people. Peace, love, and granola, right? No, exact same guy, both, because he makes it clear here in Galatians, the law cannot save us, we all know that. But the righteous, as it says in Habakkuk, live by faith. It always has been that way. Always has been that way. The law is not of faith, rather. The one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham, the great man of faith, might come to the Gentiles, so we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. That's how we receive it. So how do the righteous ones live in contrast to the world? By faith. All right? And this is different than saying, I'm a person of faith. Right? Anyone can say that about themselves, whatever religious moniker you want to put over yourself. Yeah, I'm a person of faith. This is a different type. This is the faith that leads to salvation. Right? We come to Jesus Christ, we know, in God's word, through faith, period. That's it. Okay? So faith is a defining characteristic then of all of God's people. Now, let's jump over to the last place that it's used. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, if you know your Bible, you know what comes right after this, Hebrews 11, which is the great faith chapter. But it gets introduced by Habakkuk. All right? So Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning in verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, and here he quotes, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It is impossible to please God without faith. So we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. So what do we hope in, right? This hope that Habakkuk had, things aren't going to delay. God's going to make good on his word, as he says back in Habakkuk 2. What do we hope in? Well, for us right now, as it was true also for Habakkuk, we hope in the return of Christ. How many of you have thought that recently when you watch the news and you see what's going on and you're just like, really, Lord, really? Could we wrap it up already?
Right.
It gets a little overwhelming. So we wait and hope. Psalm 33 says, we wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust. We have faith, we have confidence in his holy name. We hope for many things. We hope for his return. We hope for the resurrection of our own bodies, that we'll be resurrected. This is the faith. This is the fact. This is the reality of what everything is based on. Paul says if it wasn't for the resurrection, we're fools, and to be pitied above all if the resurrection wasn't true. We have hope in that. And we have hope in the restoring, that everything will be restored to how it was meant to be. Heaven, new earth, the end of pain. I know some of you are dealing with pain in your own life right now. Many of you are going through pain with a friend and what they're dealing with and the hurt in their own bodies. And we're looking forward to that total final restoration, the end of sin, right? And the total complete healing. So when we go back to Hebrews 11, 1 through 2, where we hear the author say, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We're hoping in things that we can't even see, but we have faith. We have confidence in that. The faithful of God don't just sit around with their faith and knit, although knitting is awesome. They don't sit around and just talk about their faith all the time and go to Bible studies, do they? We've just finished James, the whole book. What was it all about? Faith without what? Works is this. So the faithful of God aren't just sitting around talking about their faithfulness and God's faithfulness either. Although those are great and they're helpful, but that should be the propulsion to move us what? Out to do what? Act. To walk out there and do that. So the faithful of God act on their faith. How? The holy living. You're distinct from the world. We're going to really get into this in 1 Peter. I'm so excited about the next 5 days. We're going to just blur through 1 Peter. We got to really dig in on James, but Peter, we're just going to get an overview of it. Have fun. It's a fabulous book. But we're going to be really talking a lot about this holy living. Preaching the gospel is another way to act on their faith. And I know some of you are like, oh, I'm not a preacher. I'll leave that to the preacher people. But you preach the gospel by your life. Right? You preach the gospel by how you're living your life. And on the pulpit at my old church, it says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Let your life be the gospel. Let your life speak for itself. We're all preachers of the gospel. We're all ministers, the Bible says, of reconciliation. Our priorities is a way we show that we have faith. What are we prioritizing? You've heard me say this before. I referenced it last week at the 168 hours in our week. if you take out those hours and realize what you're doing with them, you will realize where your priorities are. My guess is you prioritize having employment and paying your bills, right? So you put hours in for that. My guess is you prioritize your teeth, like I talked about last week. So you probably put a few minutes in, making sure those teeth are clean. You're not going to let them fall out of your face, right? So your faith is going to be shown in what you're prioritizing in your life. If you're not in the Word, then you're not prioritizing it. Where's your priority to what God's Word is saying? What are you spending in time and value on prayer in God's Word and hearing from Him, being still before Him, right? All right, so this all shows the tangible ways of the things that we are hoping for. Now, the kingdom of God, we talked about that a lot throughout Luke. The kingdom of God is then seen in the people of faith. That's what they are seeing, all right? So when we go back and rethink that, we can kind of get on ourselves a little bit about how we're living our life and beat ourselves up. But don't do that. That's condemnation that comes from the accuser. Let God readjust your heart and your priorities. Prayerfully bring that before Him. And ask God to make the adjustments in your heart that you need. Because you say to Father, I prioritize this. I didn't have to pray for my mom, by the way, smoking. I could have gotten interested in it. I could have. I prioritize, though. I don't want to smoke. I don't want her to die lung cancer or whatever, right? I didn't want to smell like it was stinky, so I made that a priority. So what did I do? I put my thought, my effort, my faith, my prayer, everything toward that. Right? And when it's aligned with God's will, God answers that in His way. So, faith is a conviction, says in Hebrews, of the things that are not seen. What are these things? What are these things that are not seen? Well, the universe. We didn't see, we weren't there. And God made a big point of that when I talked to Job about it. Were you there when I hung everything up? Were you there when I made everything? When I tied up the heavens? When I told the waters where to go and where not to go? Were you there? We weren't there, but we have faith. In fact, I shared with you last week, I think it was last week, about my cycle of disbelief that I go through in my own life. And I cycle all the way back to Genesis 1 all the time. In the beginning, God. If I can accept that, right, then anything else after that is going to be pretty easy, you know, when you think about it, right? Okay. So, placing something out there, putting something out there in the future is that act of faith. It's something you can't see. But so in your mind, whatever you wrote down, I want you to picture placing it out there. You're not tangible yet. You don't see the healing yet. I'm not asking you to manifest reality. That's New Age thinking. I'm asking you to prayerfully lay that before the Father and say, this is how I see what I believe is the best. This person's healing. This person's restoration. Put that out there. So you're putting that out there. It's something you cannot see. Okay? Things that you still cannot see are the things that are behind you. But the things that are behind you are the things that give you the confidence in what's ahead. Does that make sense? You're trusting what you've seen in the past, that God's been faithful over and over and over and over again, and you have no reason to believe otherwise that all of a sudden He's going to stop being faithful and flip out on you. And so you're like, I'm putting it out there then. This is what, and you know what God's going to end up doing? He's going to work in your heart to make those adjustments. Because I believe that it is God's will that you are all healed, whatever infirmity is plaguing you. I believe it's God's will for your friend to be healed. I don't believe it is God's will for anybody to be sick and dying right now. I don't believe it's God's will for anyone to be a prodigal right now. I don't believe that it's God's will. I don't know about God's timing. Because this side of heaven, your friend might not get healed. This side of heaven, that prodigal might not return. This side of heaven, I don't know God's timing. I know that God's will has been clear. That He does not wish for anyone to perish. He is not slow in keeping His promises, as it says in Peter. Some consider slowness, right? But that all would come. All would be healed. And James continues to remind us to reorder our lives around Jesus, to reorder our lives around the working out and living out of our faith, all right? And so when we read in James that faith without works is dead, it's not saying that works are needed to be added to our faith so that we can be saved or do something to help Jesus complete salvation, right? Instead, if you say you have faith, but you don't have works to back it up, or works that prove you have faith, then you don't have faith. It's not the real thing. You all along were doing it on your own power. That's why it's so important to go back and read James in tandem with things like Romans and Galatians as well. All right. So four things. One, faith is the central issue of the gospel. Never forget that. Remember, it's impossible to please God without faith. Number two. Number one, again, faith is the central issue of the gospel. You want to draw a circle, put the target in the middle, the gospel, faith, right there in the middle. It's a central issue. Number two, faith is how we are made right or justified with God. Faith is how that comes together. Faith is how we're made right or justified with God. Number three, faith, as I've been reviewing, is a defining characteristic of believers. I want you to think about defining characteristics. If you've ever known somebody with big, flashy hair, it's a defining physical feature of that person, right? If you know someone who's like, whoa, they're super tall, it's a defining physical quality about that person. Faith is a defining characteristic of a Christian. When people see you as a Christian and you have claimed the name of Christ, then they should see faith. That is a defining characteristic of how we're supposed to be. And faith, number four, results in action. Faith results in action. It cannot be separated. Whether that action is a vibrant prayer life, a vibrant being a student of the Word and in the Word life, a vibrant servant life, a vibrant stepping out and taking action. Now, that's what faith is. Let me just real quick tell you what faith is not, to clarify, because there might be someone in the room who's had some bad teaching in the past, or maybe you're just misunderstanding, so let me clarify a couple things. Faith is not something that's wielded like a lightsaber. Zing, zing, zing. Not faith. That's not faith, all right? So you might have even heard or maybe even used the phrase, I'm believing God for this. I'm going to manifest this into my future, right? I'm going to name it and claim it. Put it out there and claim it. The will of God. Faith, that is not faith, all right? That is you having enough belief to force God to do your will, in a sense. Now, can you lay something before the Father and ask the Father to do this? Absolutely. I did that with my mom's cigarette smoking, so I've tried to make that case before I get to this point. So I'm not trying to say, don't you say things in name and claim in Jesus. I'm saying don't have that attitude about you that you are in charge of God. Because here's what ends up happening. When you don't get your way, what does that say then? God blew it or you do it? Where did that happen, right? And so it's a weird place to be. We need to be careful on that bad type of teaching. So be mindful of that. Consider Hebrews 11 itself, a great faith chapter, all the men and the women of faith. You can't even list them all. And yet many of them actually, didn't even receive what they believed in faith would happen. Okay, the writer of Hebrews is very clear on that. In fact, these all died, verse 13, chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. They're all naming it and claiming it out there. There's no one manifesting their future. I'm going to manifest this and believe it. I'm going to believe this on God's behalf. Make this happen. I'm going to visualize it into existence. No. This type of teaching has crept into the church. And this is not biblical. We need to stand against that in truth. Right? So we need to ask if it's God's will, really, or it's our own. This is a role model we've seen from Jesus himself. Is it my will or yours? Even Jesus went before the Father and said, I would that this cup would pass through me. I do not want to go through this. And yet what? Not my will, but yours be done. Right? So if I can believe it enough, convince enough, manifest goodness in my life, no, that's not about faith. Positive thinking, no, that's not faith. It's good. Be positive. Don't be a negative Nelly. Nobody likes that. Okay, believe it, achieve it, sure, go out there, pursue your dreams. Not faith, though. It's not faith. Okay, name it, claim it again. Not faith. It's reoriented our thinking about that. So, should we have faith, though, that God will heal? Absolutely, we should. And like I said, is it God's will for us to be healed? I believe it is. I believe it is God's will for us to be healed. I don't know when his timing is on that. And it could be miraculous. And I know multiple instances, obviously recorded in the New Testament, but even since then, of God miraculously healing people. Totally unexplained by medical science, God heals, steps in. So I believe in healing, right? But let's be careful how we're wielding that, and it can cause a lot of disruption and pain in the church as well. All right, so a lot of faithful people have been through a lot of trouble. Think about it, all right? All the 11 apostles, you know, because Judas hanged himself, at least 10 of them were killed for their faith. Think about that, right? So not once in the New Testament, though, does it say that Peter was doing fine until he had a lack of faith. You know, I'm upside down on the cross. Poor Peter, right? No. James was the first of the apostles to be martyred, and it simply says of him in Acts 12:2 that Herod killed him with the sword Was this because James lacked faith? James was doing great, but he had a lapse of faith and Herod lopped his head off. No. So why don't people quote that about faith? Why don't we see that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and maybe it's going to end with my head getting cut off? Right? We need to be honest with what the Word of God says and not just quote the warm fuzzies and twist them to make them believe what we make them say what we want to believe it says, and take some of those tough truths from the Bible in regards to faith. All right, so what about the faith of a mustard seed? Didn't Jesus say that? Who just would have faith of a mustard seed, right? You could do what? Move a mountain. Right? Just tiny little faith of a mustard seed. You can go in and in and in on that one. So, is it God's will that you move that mountain? Is that the point of that scripture, that you should be moving those mountains? What are you moving mountains for? Maybe you just need to submit to your husband. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to get into that next week. Oh, nobody likes that one. Girl, what are you talking to submit to my husband? He's not walking with the Lord. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3, ladies, maybe that's the faith that you need to be asking for. Maybe you need to have faith to submit to your boss at work. Maybe you need to have faith to don't interrupt people and don't be such a negative Nelly. Maybe that's what you need to have faith. That's your big old mountain. I don't know. But we like, I'm going to move mountains and pray for healing on someone. Maybe you just need to get your act together and start walking with the Lord. And you need to increase your faith in that area. Right? So we come before the Father in humility then to His will. And we're going to get, a lot of this is going to come up in your study through 1 Peter. So the abuse of faith, if you think about it, really is like a temptation all the way back in Genesis 3. Why? Because you want to be like God. I want to put myself in that sovereign place, because it treats faith as a way to get our way from God. And that is not biblical. That's not what the Word says about faith. Again, those folks in Hebrews chapter 11 were all about the will of God. Everything they did was about God's will. Do you think that was comfortable for them to do the things that they had to do, to be mocked, to be ridiculed? If you read through that chapter of faith and you just think about what their life must have been like as Noah was building the ark, right? Abraham leaving his family, all the different things, right? Right? So when we read that Hebrews chapter 11, 13, that didn't even get some of the things that they were praying for in this lifetime, we know that affirms that our treasure is not here on earth, it's in Christ. So remember, faith is a defining characteristic of God's people. And Habakkuk, back to Habakkuk, shows the appropriate response to the situation. So go back to Habakkuk, now that you're such an expert finding it. An interesting thing about Habakkuk is, unlike any of the other prophets that are written out, is this book doesn't go back and forth to the people, giving oracles to the people. It's a conversation between Habakkuk and God. That's it, the whole book. Back and forth between him and God. And I'm just going to sum it up real quick. The first chunk there is Habakkuk complaining to God about the persecution that's happening and being overtaken by these bad, evil nations. And it was God's divine judgment on them. But Habakkuk wasn't happy about that, because he felt it wasn't fair that they were being judged by even eviler, if that's a word, nations. God was sending the Chaldeans in, and they were bad people, and he wasn't really thinking that was fair. And so the Lord answers him and starts dialoguing with him about that. And he says, you know what? You don't even know what's about to happen. You don't even have a clue about what's going to happen. But you just wait for it. This is going to get real. And you're going to see something quick and amazing in verse 5, chapter 1. And then Habakkuk comes up with a second complaint. He says, well, here's who you are. He reminds God about who we are. You're everlasting to everlasting. You're holy. You do all these amazing deeds and right and all that stuff. And then he says in verse 17, is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? He's talking about these bad guys, right? So I'm going to take up my stand, verse 1 of chapter 2. So this is Habakkuk talking to God. I'm going to take up my stand on this watchtower. I'm going to station myself right here. I'm going to look out to see what he will say, God will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, and that's where that part says. So Habakkuk is waiting to hear from God. He's basically saying what you and I say all the time. What the heck with all these evil people? Come back already. Make it right. This is not fun anymore. Party is over. We want the real deal to start. And Habakkuk lays it out for God. And God says, I have totally got this under control. You don't even know the power that you are, that is going to end up happening, because we'll see what Christ, what God does is he foretells Christ, the ultimate redemption. And what was Habakkuk want? I want out of this right now. And ladies, that's where we end up being also in our life. We are so short-sighted. We really want out of the now. We want out of the pain that we're in right now. Right? And I don't want this to go on anymore. Fix this now. And God's like, lady, girl, I got you so much better planned for you. I got something way bigger. And he was saying the same thing to Habakkuk. And you go back to that now with that perspective. And he tells Habakkuk to write it down. Verse 2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, carve it in. He said, like, carve it into stone. I want everyone to know. So he may run who reads it. Like, the person who reads it is going to get into action. They're going to be so amped up about what I'm about to say. Verse 3, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. In other words, I got this vision, but it is waiting. And then we fast forward to Luke. And what do we see? Appointed time. Appointed time. When the fullness of time came, Christ came. Habakkuk was the one griping and complaining to God. I want it now. Ladies, are you willing to wait in faith for the fullness of God's time? Are you waiting? Are you willing to submit that to God? That whatever you wrote at the beginning of your paper, honestly, in your heart of hearts, right now, if you were real about it, are you willing to say, not my will, but thine be done about whatever I wrote on this paper in your time, Father? Because it's going to be ridiculously awesome when it happens in your time. I will have faith to wait on you. Why? Because we're looking back in the past. We're seeing everything he's ever done in the past has been perfectly aligned with his perfect time. Right? Are you willing to take whatever you wrote down there and just say, all right, if it takes another year, 10 years, or never in my lifetime, how willing are you to full on give that totally over to God? They go back and forth on this. God lays out this woe to the Chaldeans in the middle of chapter 2. He says, don't worry, the Chaldeans are going to get it. Y'all don't hear about Chaldeans much anymore, do you?
No.
Yeah, they're not in the news. You know why? God wiped them out. They're done. Yeah. God totally took care of that business. They are done. All right, so chapter 3, Habakkuk comes back with this other prayer. This is a beautiful prayer of Habakkuk. And he sings a lot of similarities that you see in Micah and in Nahum about God, who God is. And here's what I want you to key into, just a little extra bonus as you move into 1 Peter. When you get your 1 Peter study going, you're going to see Peter talk about how he's writing from Babylon. At the very end, he says, I'm writing from Babylon. And if you know your geography and your time frame, you're like, Babylon? Babylon's like over and done by the time Peter was writing. What is he talking about, Babylon? Well, in this passage here from Habakkuk, it kind of gives you the insight to that. Because Babylon, as well as Rome, which is where Peter will be writing, and Pharaoh himself all become archetypes. They all become what's called an archetype of evil nations. And Christ is the archetype of the to complete redemption, right? And Peter will talk about that. That's a little extra freebie for being here tonight. But wrap it up in verse 16 of chapter 3. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Are you on God's side? Amen? You are in his will. You are walking by faith with him. And you wait. And you let God take the heck care of it. Can you do that? Can you be bold like Habakkuk and quit grabbing it back and trying to control it yourself? What is a distinct characteristic of a woman who claims the name of Christ? What is distinct about you? You are a woman of what?
Submission.
You are a woman of submission. Yeah. You are. And distinct in your faith. That is a distinctive of who you are in Christ. And when we're continuing to grasp back and try to rein in God, literally, like controlling how things are working in our life, we are the literal opposite. And can I just remind you that it is impossible to please God without faith. And when you act like that, guess what? You ain't got no faith. You're not pleasing God. Can you get that circle on that? All right, so when you take a look again at whatever it is that you wrote, can you literally draw a circle around it? And that's like the hands-off space. Can you just do that? Just draw a circle around it. It's like a little border. Like, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue. Don't touch me. you know, it'll stick to you. Like, don't get back into it. Let God take over that fully. One of the things that we all want to know, right, is what? God's will. I want to have faith, but I want to know God's will. Do you know that all the time in the Bible, faith and God's preferred will are completely linked? Faith and God's preferred will. You want to know God's will? Step out in faith. Have faith in God. You want to know what God wants? Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself. Don't be thinking about your way, but to think so that as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed each to have a measure of faith. God's given you your measure of faith. Now, that might make you ask right now from the beginning question, do you want more faith? Do you have a measuring cup at home? Anyone have measuring cups? You know, you use your measuring cups. Maybe your measuring cup you feel like God gave you was a quarter cup. Maybe, you know, maybe it was an eighth of a cup. Is there anything smaller than an eighth? Yeah, there's 16th. Hopefully you didn't get that. And maybe you want a full cup measure. Do you think you can go to God and say, whatever you've given me, I'm ready for more? Do you think you can go to God and say that? Yeah. Why? Because Jesus said, anything you ask of the Father in my name, it will be given to you. You think that's a prayer that God wants to answer? He doesn't want you moving around, moving mountains, showing stuff. No, he wants you to ask for more faith. Ask for more. That's the prayer that God's going to answer with a yes. If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. That's a prayer he's going to answer with yes. You want more faith? He's going to give you more faith. How is he going to grow your faith? James chapter 1. We just read it this last week. How is he going to grow your faith? Consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face what? Trials of many kinds. I don't know, maybe you want to break that back. You don't want to ask for faith anymore. It's not like asking for patience, right? But ladies, if you are going to be distinct in your characteristic about your faith, about who you are in Christ, then you're going to be asking God, increase my faith. Just like the man with the paralyzed son, and Jay spoke on that, of course, the man with the epileptic son cries out, I believe. What? Help me in my what? Unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. And that's a good prayer. That's the prayer that God's going to answer. God's going to fill that up. God's assigned each of us a measure of faith. You want a greater measure? Ask. What's stopping you? If I were you, I'd be like, I don't know, wrap it up, Richmond. I got some praying to do. Like, I want to ask for a prayer of faith. I want to increase it. You're going to be in your car. You're going to leave the parking lot tonight because you and your girlfriend are going to sit in there and you're going to say, like, I'm over it. I'm going to ask for more faith in this situation. And you're going to get a prayer partner together. You're going to be texting each other and emailing each other and calling each other, holding each other accountable. And any whiny, cry, negative, nelly stuff you hear from your friend that you can trust, no. We're going to be praying about that. We're going to give it to the Lord. We're going to ask for faith. All right? Jesus knows you're going to be tested. And in fact, he knows it. And he even role modeled for us what happens in that. Do you remember that from Luke chapter 22? Before Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus says to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your what? Faith may not fail. So number one, it's possible that your faith could fail. Number two, you might be getting sifted. And Jesus, God, is allowing it. Getting sifted by Satan. Don't think it couldn't happen to you. And when you have turned again, you will strengthen your brothers. He knows you're going to go through it. He's praying for you that you will be strengthened through it. And when you're done, you're going to have a testimony. You'll be up here at this mic next summer telling your Coffee Talk testimony what God did in your life when you stepped out in faith. All right. So, faith is a choice then. This isn't something you're just going to lay around and let happen. I'm going to pray for faith. Nope. You're going to pray and you're going to move. Here's a beautiful story to wrap up my talk right now. I hope this really sinks in to you. Maybe you've heard it before. It's a wonderful reminder of that faith is a choice. So this is about a man named Charles Bondin, and he was a French tightrope walker. And in September 14th of 1860, He became the first person to cross a tightrope stretched 11,000 feet over a quarter of a mile across the mighty Niagara Falls. People from both Canada and America came from miles to see this great man. He walked across 160 feet above the falls several times, each time with a different daring feat. I mean, come on, walking across couldn't be enough. Just walking across, he's going to do stuff. Wait till you hear what some of the things he did. He did it once in a sack, potato sack. Walked across in a potato sack. Right. He did it once on stilts. Now, I could not even get on stilts on this floor. And he did it on the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He did it on a bicycle. He did it in the bark and in the dark. He did it blindfolded. And one time he even carried a stove out and he cooked an omelet in the middle in between each side. Right there, a little stove with a pan, cooked up an omelet. He was French. They love their omelets, you know.
Oh, yes.
Right. Okay. So a large crowd gathered and a buzz of excitement ran along both sides of the riverbank. And the crowd oohed and they awed as Blondine carefully walked across one dangerous step after another, pushing wheelbarrow, holding a sack of potatoes. Then at one point, he asked for participation of a volunteer. Upon reaching the other side, the crowd's applause was louder than the roar of the falls. Blondine suddenly stopped and addressed his audience. Do you believe I can carry, in a really good French accent, do you believe I can carry a person across it in this wheelbarrow? Because he'd done it back and forth with more and more weights in it so it would simulate the weight of a man. The crowd enthusiastically yelled, yes, we. You are the greatest tightrope walker in all the world. We totally believe that you can do it. Okay, says Blondine. Who wants to get into the wheelbarrow? Come on, you knew that was coming. Silence. Absolute silence. Sure. Until one man stepped out of the crowd and he got into the wheelbarrow. Now, the point of the story. While everyone in the crowd had said they believed the tightrope walker could carry a man across the falls, only that one man demonstrated real faith by climbing into that wheelbarrow. Real faith is more than just words. It's more than rituals. It's more than going to church. It's more than having a religion. It's more than believing there is a God. Real faith backs up words with actions, or it's not real faith. It's like exercising a spiritual muscle. And Grandma says, real faith grows when we make a choice after choice after choice after choice. That's real faith. So, similarly, it's one thing for us to say that we believe in God. And we talked about this again in James. Demons believe, right? However, it's true faith when we believe God and put our faith and trust in his son, in that wheelbarrow. All right? So you have a tightrope ahead of you. You've put it on your paper, I pray. Maybe you've drawn your circle around it to let it go. Are you going to trust God to take that across? Are you letting it go? Are you trusting Lily? Are you letting your faith really live out in your life in that way? You know the answer to that in your heart. And some of you are in a dilemma right now because you're like, I do. Can I go? But I don't. Right? You know, just like this back and forth. And you want to work on that. You want to get better at that. Can I tell you just real quick, ladies, a simple thing that I would encourage and actually challenge you to do tonight if you want to strengthen your faith? Because I know you want to go home with like, well, look, give us a thing. What do we do to make this happen? All right? Let me just give you something kind of weird to say. Do a word study on faith in the Bible. Go ahead. Get a concordance, old school. I have a bunch upstairs in my office. If you want an old school concordance, or just go on BibleGateway.com, type in the word faith, and print it out. Read about it. Read the examples of faith in the Bible and what it looks like and what it does not look like. And because, guys, the Word of God tells us that faith comes through what? Hearing. And hearing comes through what? The Word of God. So there's my crazy idea. Get in the Word of God. You want faith? Get in the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. It comes from hearing. And hearing comes from what? Say it. The word of God. Can I get an amen?
Hallelujah.
All right. A simple way to do that, because you're going to be like, where do I begin? Do a word study. Why not? Just do it. Do a word study. And I want you to imagine as you're studying it, what if I had to tell somebody else what faith looks like in my life? What if I had to put this down and tell somebody else? So, number one, faith in word. Number two, when you're doing your study, you're thinking, what if I was to tell somebody else this? So that way it's not so abstract, although you've got that. And number three,
tell someone else.
Two answers.
Tell someone else. All right.
So y'all know people in this room right now. You think, I could probably talk to so-and-so about it. I hope she does her homework, too. make an appointment and just say, you know, this isn't a someday, some won't wear in the future. My principal can't wait no longer. This is you with a trusted girlfriend that you can say, you know what, I do want to do this. I want to grow. So do you want to grow too? You do? Cool. You like coffee? Great. Let's go out. And let's talk about things. You're going to make a date with a friend in 1 week. 1 week. Okay? To get together and say, in the last week, I did my Bible study and I also was digging in on faith. What does that look like? And here's what I've learned. In 1 week, you tell somebody what you've learned on faith. Can you do that? Can you do that? I'll tell you right now, if you do your Peter study, your first Peter study, you're going to dig a lot in on that. We're going to get a lot of that. There's a lot about hope and faith and belief and the suffering and trials and getting through those in Christ. And then you're going to do your little word study. You're going to find somebody in this room or elsewhere. You're going to tell them about the talk, have them listen to the podcast. They can get it all. And you're going to get together. We're going to hold each other accountable to do that. Right? All right. Women, let's stand. Let's close. Circle around your table, your groups with your friends there, and let's just pray right now with everybody here in this room. And whether the girlfriend in this room that'll hold you accountable to be in faith is in here or not, we're going to pray in our circles right now that God increase our faith. We want bigger measures. We want to understand it better. We want to step out. We believe that God is supernaturally working here. You can tighten up your little circles. Sure. We can make a big long line. We can do a little dance later. We're believing that God is doing a work here because of the amazing timing of Shane's message, Jay's message, the messages he's been giving me, what's been working in your own heart. God is doing a work here. Do you believe that? So let's do our part, like Jay says, you know. Faith is doing our part, so what God can do is. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in all humility and say we want to be women of faith. We know it is impossible to please you without faith. But we want to please you. So give us faith. Give us more faith than what we have right now. If we've got a little, we want a lot. If we want to have a lot, we want like a Grand Canyon-sized amount of faith. God, make us just those women who the rest of the world looks at like we're a little bit crazy because we're so passionate about our love for you. And Father, right now, I pray that you would seal on the heart of each woman right now the pain, the hurt that she wrote on her paper, that she would be willing to humbly lay it before your feet right now and let it go and let you walk that across that tightrope, and she will step away and quit grabbing it back, and she will release that in faith to you. And I pray also in this room that you would raise up women who love you and want to learn more about faith and are committed to getting in your word. In 1 week, we're going to see a powerful transformation as women in this room take it seriously about their faith, and we trust you for that, Father God. Go before us now as we leave tonight. We bless you and praise your name. And everyone said,
Alleluia.
Amen. Thank you, ladies.